by him, able to keep you from falling. And when this poor body's in the grave, rotted back to the dust, he's able. He's able.
Yeah.
We look for the Savior who shall change this vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body with the working whereby he is able. He's able. I'd let you lay your dying head down on your pillow and have some peace with death. He's able. Wonderful message. I'm going to look for just a few minutes in Psalms chapter 32, if you want to turn your Bibles there with me. Psalms chapter 32. I just want to read verses 1 and 2. The book of Psalms chapter 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Yes.
This word, they tell us, means happy. Happy.
Yes.
Means to be envied. Blessed. And we must be three times happy because he mentions these three things. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. Happy, happy is the man whose transgressions is forgiven.
Amen.
Happy is the man whose sins are covered. Amen. And happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sins. So we're happy, happy, happy.
Amen.
And that's my subject tonight. Happy, happy, happy. Blessed and happy, to be envied is the man who is rich in material things of this world. He didn't say that, did he?
No.
He didn't say that. Most rich men are men who are under a tremendous burden. You have to work to get things. In your greed, you hang on to things. And then when you have to let them go, you're heartbroken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rich men are usually not happy men. He didn't say they were. He didn't say they were. We may desire riches. We may lust after riches. But you know riches will do us no good in the end.
Exactly.
If that's all a man has, is riches of this world, material things, when he dies, he's lost it all.
Right. Amen.
Fellow told me of these two poor homeless fellas. They were burying a rich man and they came down the street in the hearse, funeral procession, and one said, do you know how much he left? He said he left it all.
Exactly.
That's it, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
He left it all. And those that will be rich in this world, they fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts,
right,
which drown men in perdition, in destruction.
Right.
He's not a happy man because he's got the things of this world.
Right.
That's a burden to him. He didn't say that at all. Happy is the man who is blessed with good health. Boy, I long for good health. The older I get, the more I long for good health. I'm having pains now in places I used to. I didn't even have places. I want good health, don't you?
Sure.
All of us do. And I prayed for good health. I hope I stay healthy until I die. But die I will.
Right. That's it.
These bodies are growing old. They're getting weak. They're getting wrinkled.
Yes.
And we shall die.
Yeah. Yes,
it's appointed unto men once to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And after this, the judgment.
Amen.
Enjoy your health. Be thankful for it.
Yeah.
But that don't necessarily make you happy.
No.
That's
right.
Not the happiness my text is talking about. Happy is the man who has a loving spouse and who has his quiver full of obedient children. That can be a burden in and of itself, can't it?
Sure.
Boy, I thought when the Lord began to bless me with sons and daughters, I thought, man, you talk about a life. This is a life. Until they got to be teenagers and in their 20s, I thought, man, this is a burden. This is a real burden.
You're right.
A spouse, thank God for our spouses.
Sure.
You love your wives, you love your husbands, but you know something? It's only a temporary relationship.
Right,
that's right.
It's going to end, isn't it?
Right.
I was talking with a lady the other day, and she had lost her husband several years there, and she just couldn't come to grips with it. She couldn't come to grips that he was gone. I said, he's gone, and your relationship with him is eternally lost.
Right. Go ahead.
He'll never be your husband again, and you'll never be his wife again.
Right.
He didn't say, happy is the man who has a wonderful spouse and wonderful children. He didn't say that at all, did he? Happy is the man who is loved by this world and everybody is his friend and speaks well of him. Woe be to you when all men speak well. But isn't this the things that we're apt to dwell upon? We work for material things. We labor for material things. We raise our family, we love our spouses, we want good health, we want to get along with our neighbors, we want everybody to think well of us, and when we've accomplished all of that, we're happy people. That don't bring happiness, does it? Happiness. Who is a happy man? He whose transgressions is forgiven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He whose sins are covered. And the man to whom the Lord will not impute
Amen.
Sin.
Amen.
What would it mean for you to leave this place tonight? When you walk through that back door on your way home, to leave this place knowing that every sin, every transgression against God that you had committed in your life was all forgiven.
Amen.
What would that mean for you? All your sins of motives. You've searched yourself. You've saw when your motives have been wrong. You saw when you've used hateful words. You saw when you've erred in truth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've not lived up to God's glory and you're burdened about it. But tonight you could leave here and the Lord Jesus speaks as it were to your conscience and said they're all taken away. What would that mean for you?
Amen.
What is it that makes men afraid to face death? Is it not sins?
Yes, sir.
I read a story years ago about a young mountain climber got up on a mountain somewhere in the late fall and he got in a storm and they found his frozen body and they said he had scribbled on a little note, my greatest fear, will God forgive my sins? My greatest fear. What would it mean to have all your transgressions forgiven? I tell you, you ask those people there in heaven. If you and I could talk to the saints tonight and say, what means more than anything else, looking back on your life journey, what means more than anything else to you? And you know what they'd tell you? My sins were washed away.
Yeah.
That's why they're rejoicing around the throne.
Yeah.
That He loved us and washed us from our sins
right.
in His own blood.
Yeah.
Sins forgiven. You ask those in hell. What do you think about your family now? What do you think about all the time you gave to material things? All the labor that's now vanity. What would you give now if you could have all your sins purged away? They can't even get a drop of water in hell. No sins forgiven. What would it mean to leave here tonight? To have all your transgressions washed away.
Amen.
That means everything, wouldn't it?
Yeah, everything.
Yes.
Lord, take my wife, if you please. Kill my children, like you did Job, if it's your will. Take my health away from me. Strip me of any bodily comfort that I have. Leave me without a friend, one. But, oh Lord, do not charge me with my sin.
Amen.
Amen.
Every sin that I've ever committed against you, against your law, against the Son of God, against the Father, against the Holy Spirit, against light, against His people, Lord, forgive all.
Amen.
And I tell you, that'd make me a happy man, wouldn't it you?
Me too.
A happy man. Boy, those people who know something about the holiness of God, the sovereign nature of God, His searching eye, those who know something about the sting of sin, the corruption that's within, those who know something about the judgment to come, they've got some apprehension about it. Or they faced eternity in their thoughts, in their hearts. I tell you, it means something when you talk to them about forgiveness.
Yeah, sir.
Happy. Happy.
Yeah.
Happy. What else matters? Boy, in the long run, nothing else matters, does it?
Exactly.
It just doesn't matter. They brought a man to the Lord Jesus one day. Couldn't get him in. He's too full. The Lord was preaching to so many people. They had to take the roof off. Remember that? Took some shingles off and slates and let him down through. This man couldn't walk. He had the palsy. Set him right down there in front of the Lord's presence. And the first thing the Master said to him, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
Amen.
Happy. But Lord, this man can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
They had to bring him here and help him here. What do you mean, be of good cheer? Please don't interrupt the Master. Let him say what he's got to say. He's not finished yet. Be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, I think probably I'd have said, guys, it doesn't matter if he heals me or not. If this drops it, carry me back home.
There you go.
Here's what I wanted.
Amen.
Here's what my conscience has been craving for. Yeah. To know that the eternal triune God has forgiven
Amen.
All my sins.
Amen.
Be of good cheer. Happy. Happy.
Happy.
We have a lady in our church, deacon's wife. She had professed for many years. The Lord saved her just a few short years ago. Deacon's wife.
There you go.
Everybody's lost till the Lord saves you.
Amen.
You know, just because you're a pastor's wife or a deacon's wife or the preacher's kids, you got to be saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And the Lord saved her, and I'm telling you what, she has been deathly ill ever since. She goes from couch to the bed to the couch, one doctor to another doctor. But you know what she told me one day? She said, it don't matter. It don't matter now. It don't matter.
Amen.
He healed my soul. He forgive my sin. What would it mean, brothers and sisters, to leave here with the reality? I'm talking about the reality. That your sins are forgiven. Your transgressions are all forgiven. Notice this second part. First of all, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. And this second part, happy is he whose sins are forgiven. Covered.
Yes.
Now that's another aspect of it, isn't it? When the Lord first saved me, I just couldn't understand this. I'd read this and I thought, man, I spent years covering my sin up. And I don't want to go through that anymore. And I couldn't understand, what does it mean here when he said, blessed are those whose sins are covered. What does that mean? There's something wonderful about this. Sins are not only forgiven. They're not only washed away. But you know something? They're covered from God's eyes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
He talks about casting them into the depths of the sea. What's down in the depths of the sea? Darkness. It's covered by all the water, isn't it? You can't see it. You ever see your sins? You see them, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, you struggle with them, don't
you?
You know something? He can't see him.
Amen.
Amen.
He can't see him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what he says here. Blessed are those whose sins are covered.
Yeah.
It's amazing when that prodigal son came back to his father's house that he never did bathe in. Did you ever notice that? He said, bring the robe out here and put it on him. And I thought, aren't you going to wash him yet? You know that teaches us something, though. That teaches us something. Underneath that beautiful robe, the best robe, bring the best robe and put on him. And underneath that robe, he was still itching. He had the stink of that hog smell on him. He was in awful shape underneath that robe. But if you looked at him, all you could see was that beautiful, choice robe that the Father had put upon him. And you know, when the Lord saves us, when the Lord washes us from our sins in our conscience, you know, he don't do anything to this old man.
Right, go ahead.
That's right.
Go ahead.
That's right.
There's sufficiency in the robe that Jesus Christ brought in and worked out to cover all your sins.
Right.
Amen.
To justify you from everything without you doing anything.
Right.
Amen.
And you feel it, don't you? You feel that stink. You feel the working of this corruption, this sin, and you're trying to get out of it, but oh, stand back and look at this robe the Father's put on.
Amen.
He don't see underneath that robe. I love what Isaiah said. Isaiah 38:17, listen to this. 61:10. Isaiah said this, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord." I'm going to be happy in the Lord. "My soul shall be joyful in my God." Why? "For he hath clothed me with a garment of salvation."
Yes.
"He hath covered me"
Amen.
"with the robe of righteousness."
Yeah. Amen.
You may stink in your own eyes.
Yeah.
You may smell awful.
Yeah.
You may look awful. But you know something? You're beautiful. In God's eyes.
Right.
Amen.
Because you know what he sees? He sees this robe of righteousness that Jesus Christ has worked out himself and covered you with.
Amen.
He has those eyes that are as a flame of fire, but he can't see through that to see your sin. You see them, but he doesn't.
He does.
Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
I imagine when that high priest went into the holiest of holies, he remembered when they stood before Mount Sinai and those commandments was given. Boy, it was thunder and the lightning and the threats that was coming from Mount Sinai. And Moses brought those things down and said, "Put them in the holy place." And then when he went in there, he thought, boy,
yeah.
Man, that's that law. That's an inflexible justice. Yeah. And right there it is in that box.
Yes, sir.
But what covered that?
Yeah.
Mercy seat.
Yeah.
Amen.
The mercy seat. Oh, I'm so thankful, aren't you?
Yeah.
A saved man is not a man that has no sins.
No.
You're right.
But he's a man whose sins are covered.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's
right.
It.
They're covered. They're covered.
Right.
Look thirdly at this right quick. The last portion of this is wonderful too. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. There's the third aspect of this.
Amen.
Forgiveness, covering, and now will not impute iniquity.
Yes.
Those men who understand these words, you read sometimes in your search them up in those who know something about definitions of these Hebrew words and so on. They say these three words, transgressions, sins, and iniquities, covers the whole spectrum of what it is to come short of God's glory.
Right.
They define transgressions as to trespass.
Yeah.
Well, we know that, don't we? You go on somebody's land, you know, and you've got a sign there, no trespassing. If you step over there, you've transgressed.
Right.
You're subject to the law to be prosecuted. That's what he said, my transgressions are forgiven. And this word, sin, means, of course, to fall short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this iniquity is a very interesting word as they use it here. One fellow said it means that which is turned out of its proper course.
Yeah.
To go astray from that which is right and good to that which is evil, any moral distortion or perversion. Iniquities. It means to be turned out of the right way and turned into the wrong way.
Yeah.
Boy, that's us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own perverted
way.
We've left our proper course. We went from that which is good to that which is evil. Every man. There's no exception since Adam fell. Every man. There's only been one exception. That's the Son of God. He's the only one that ever did. The rest of us have gone astray. Our iniquities have taken us astray. But I love this word imputed. He doesn't reckon it to you. Are you still astray? Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Why are we having all this trouble? Mm-hmm. We're astray, aren't we?
Yeah.
Listen how David said this. I think he said it better than any of us could ever say it. Here's what David, the psalmist of Israel, said. He said, Lord, I am gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now, David, which is it? Have you gone astray? Or have you not forgotten the Lord's commandments? It's got to be one or the other. No, it's both. That's where the believer finds himself at, brothers and sisters. He's got this new man inside. Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This new creature that's created in his image, I love him. I love his laws. I love his gospel. I love his people. I love his ways. I love him. But I see another law in my members. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. See, when our first father went astray, he just didn't hurt himself. He went off into bondage himself. But every time a poor little child darkens his mother's womb, he's in bondage to sin. And he cannot escape it. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's what we're waiting on, isn't it? And here we are day by day struggling with it all. I thought when the Lord first saved me, I thought, you know, boy, the sin is gone, you know. But you know, it wasn't long till I began to see my nature as I never saw it before. I felt the guilt of sin when the Lord saved me. But I tell you, it wasn't long but I began to feel the pollution of it.
There you go.
And you know, as I get older, it gets worse.
Right.
I've learned to live by faith and not my feelings.
Right.
Exactly.
But boy, the sin is there. And it just wars and it wars and it wars. And you never get any rest within from it.
Right.
Exactly.
But you know what the Lord says? I know it. And I'm not going to hold it against you.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what he says.
One man said, that's blasphemy. No, that's the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
One man said, if I believe that, I'd just turn loose the reins of my lust and live like the devil. How do you know? If you've never experienced it.
Right.
Exactly.
There's people that want to hang God's little children over hell. That's the only way to get them to do anything. Just preach hell to them. Hang them over hell. Threaten them. And you know what you'll get out of that? You'll get a bunch of legalists. You'll get a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites. Or you'll scare God's little children to death. You preach what these two verses here teach to God's children. I tell you, it'll make them so gracious. It'll make them so merciful. It'll give them a clear and clean heart. Well, look what he said. When he mentioned these three things, then he turns and said, blessed is the man in whose spirit there's no guile.
Amen.
It's the gospel, the free, pure gospel, that'll remove guile from your heart. He'll make you be honest. When I was in religion, my dad was a Free Will Baptist preacher. And I tell you what, I tried to put on a show. That's all I wanted to do was impress people. I got so sick of myself, so sick of trying to impress people. And when the Lord saved me and showed me that it was in His side I must walk, man, I had so much liberty in my heart. And when you've got liberty, it won't make you live like the devil.
No.
It'll fill your heart with gratitude and love for Him.
Yes, sir.
Stand fast in the liberty
wherewith
Christ has made you free. I go walking sometime in my neighborhood. I've told this so many times, but it impressed me. I go walking. I got about 2 miles marked out through the neighborhood where I walk. And I was walking around on the other side of town, just a small town, 200 people or so, but there was a fella on the other side of town that had a big pit bull. And he had a fence. He was fenced in, and he was chained, a big chain. And, man, he'd come and hit that fence, and that chain would pop. And I thought, man, I don't know if I should be walking through here or not. Went through one day, and the fence was gone and just the chain there. And, boy, he'd hit that chain, and that tongue would come out, and them teeth would show, and he'd growl and bark. And I thought, I'm not coming through here again. And one day I forgot. I went up the hill, and just atop the hill, there he stood in the middle of the road. I thought, man, I can't run. He's got me. This dog will eat me alive. And so I just stood there. Stood there and looked at him. And here he came, walking towards me. Just kept getting closer and closer. My heart was pounding. I thought, man, what am I going to do? I know I've seen this dog. I seen him when he had him tied inside that fence with that chain. He was vicious.
Yeah.
And you know what that dog did? He came up and licked my hand. And I don't understand this, but all I can attribute that to is his freedom.
Yeah.
When you had him bound, he was mean. And he wanted free. When you freed him, he licks you. Let the Lord Jesus free a man from all his sins and make him to know it.
Yeah.
You know what you'll do? You'll go licking his hand.
Yeah.
You go bowing at his feet and you'll say, Lord, what will you have me to do?
Yeah.
Sins forgiven, sins covered, and sins not imputed.
Amen.
And I tell you what, it all comes through the cross.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
We've got sort of two poles that you talk to people about, forgiveness of sins and justification and those things. You've got one on this pole over here, it's just all the love of God. Oh, God is so good. He's just going to forgive you.
Right.
You know. You just ask him, he'll forgive you. On what grounds?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
If I come to you tonight and say, God will forgive you irrespective of anything, you know what you're going to ask me? What about justice?
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, David pleaded mercy, didn't he? According to your tender mercies, blot out all my transgressions. But he never did stop with just mercy.
No.
The law has to be satisfied, doesn't it?
Yeah.
John said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just.
Amen.
How can God be just
and
forgive your sins?
Right.
Yeah.
How can he be just and cover them? How can he be just and say, I'm not going to hold them against you?
Yeah.
He's God. How can he do that? The cross.
Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, it's the cross.
Amen.
I love to think sometimes, this is for my benefit. This didn't happen, but it's for my benefit. Sometimes I love to think while our Master was upon the cross and his groans and bleeding, I love to think that God, as it were, collected all of his attributes. And he begins to talk to him. He says, now justice, I want you to come and bring your sword, your shining sword, and I want you to whet it. And I want you to stand here in front of the cross. My holiness, my power, my mercy, my love, my grace, my wrath.
Yeah.
All my eternal and perfect attributes. I want you to come here and stand and look up at my bleeding son.
Yeah.
And then he says to wisdom, wisdom, I want you to search the books. I want you to open every page. I want you to read every paragraph. Search every word. Get every definition of every law. Then I want you to stand there until my son says it's finished.
Yeah.
And I want you to stand there until they open his bleeding side. And then I want to hear your one collective voice. Satisfied.
Yeah.
Satisfied.
Yeah.
I'll never smite again.
Yeah.
There's no fury in me. All is forgiven.
Yeah.
All is covered. I'll never charge again.
Yeah.
Ain't that wonderful, brothers?
Yeah.
That's a gospel, ain't it?
Yeah, that's
a gospel. That's a gospel. That's why they call it good news, I guess.
Yeah.
Who's able to give us a gospel like that?
Amen.
Oh, the triune God. Are you happy?
Yeah.
If you're here tonight and you're not happy, I don't say that lightly. Oh, there's trials. I know that. I know that. But think on this. Think on this. This will make you happy. In your darkest trying hour, if your sins are covered.
Amen.
If your iniquities are not imputed to you. And if your transgressions are forgiven.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
Pastor.